Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be here. Let me open us in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to be among your people. Not only in our time is it a privilege to be here personally, to see fellow members of the household of God face to face, but Lord, what a privilege it is to be a part of your family. To be a part of your household. We ask, Lord, that as we gather around your word, as we open up your word, would we have ears to hear what you have to say to us? Lord, I pray that we would be humble. Would we be teachable? And Lord, would you be glorified in us? In your Son's name we pray. Amen. I'm thankful for the introduction, and it's a real privilege to be here. I want to tell you a little bit about myself, my family. My name is Stephen, and before moving to Germany in 2019, my family and I were living in the UK. We had made a deal with God. We had said, we're willing to follow you to the UK. I was there for studies to finish off my PhD. But the deal was that after we were done with the studies, after making the sacrifice of moving far away from family, the deal was we'd get to go back and be near family. And the Lord laughed at our plans and opened this door and kicked us through it. And it did feel that way. It did feel that it was what we had to do. It felt that it would be an act of disobedience not to go to Germany. And we had to trust that we were going to be blessed in the obedience, even though we didn't want to go. So we arrived in September of 2019, and I was installed as a pastor at one of your sister churches, IBC in Bonn. It was their one-year anniversary. They had been planted a year before by your sister church in Cologne, IBC Cologne. And that's an amazing story. 10 years ago, the church meetings at IBC Cologne looked like a wrestling match. They were yelling at each other, literally. They were fighting with each other. And the Lord has done amazing things. Imagine, 10 years ago, a church that had just a handful of families left because of the strife within the church. The Lord worked in the hearts of those people. And now that church is training leaders, that church is planting churches. We are 3 years old, and we are praying about our first church plant. IBC Cologne is already working on its second church plant. It's amazing. And so I'm here as a pastor, but that's not really why I'm here either. I was hired by a nonprofit, an organization that the pastor at IBC Cologne and a couple of his elders started called Aquila Initiative. And they hired me to develop a training curriculum for training up leaders and church planters for Europe. So Aquila Initiative partners with churches like ICF, healthy churches that are already raising up leaders, and we come alongside them and say, we think we have some resources that might be helpful for you. So we partner with your church, we partner with your pastor, and help him walk along with him as he trains up people like David. This is the reason why we're here. We're blessed to be here. We're happy to be here now. And the Lord has been faithful. And this partnership, there's a real blessing for me coming here to Cologne, a blessing to be with fellow members of the body of Christ. It's a blessing for me. I've been served and blessed greatly by your tech team. I hope you appreciate them. I hope you appreciate your worship team. It's a real blessing to be here. I'm blessed. My family's blessed. But I also hope, and this is not arrogance, this is just God's plan for his church, that you have gifts, and you use your gifts to build up one another, to build up the body of Christ. And I also have a gift. I'm coming from another body, another body of Christ, and I'm coming with my gift of the Spirit, and we are mutually blessing one another. It's a beautiful picture of God's design for the church, that each person has a gift. Paul says in Corinthians, the first letter to the Corinthians, that each gift is a manifestation of the Spirit. So I can't know God as well as I can if I'm not living with other believers who are manifesting the Spirit in their life. So this is a blessing for each of us. I come with the greetings of my church, IBC Bonn, and we wish you the best. We pray for IBC churches, and we're thankful for the partnership that's developing. And this leads us to understand a bit more our main point today from the passage. As you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 16, I can get away with this as a visiting pastor. I can preach the last chapter of Romans where Paul greets. It's just a bunch of greetings. I can get away with that because I don't have to come back. But as you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 16, in this text, Paul is closing his letter to the Romans. He's greeting those in the church. And it's an experience of opening up someone else's mail. I don't know if you've had this experience. I recently have been getting lots of emails from a library in Florida. They keep telling me my books are overdue. I've never lived in Florida. I don't have a library card in Florida, but someone named Stephanie Campbell does, and I keep getting her emails, and I don't know how to get in contact with Stephanie to tell her that her books are overdue. But this is a bit like our experience today, opening up Romans. We're opening up somebody else's mail, and we have to understand, discern what God is communicating to us. And this is the main point. I like to say it very clearly. The main point that I want you to walk away with, if you walk away with anything, is that the church is made up of co-workers in Christ Jesus. The church is made up of co-workers in Christ Jesus. Your Bible might say something else, fellow laborers or something like that. It's all from the same word, but I think your NIV says co-workers. I want you to grow today in your understanding of your place in God's bigger picture. I want you to grow today in your understanding of your place within this church. Take a moment and look around. Look at your fellow church members. Look at the body of Christ around you. I want you to grow in your understanding that the people that you're looking at are your co-workers in Christ Jesus. You and this local body are working together to build each other up in love. And you are co-workers with one another in the mission of spreading the gospel. I also want you to grow in your understanding of yourself within the bigger picture, the global church, that this body here is a part of God's bigger picture of what he's doing in Frankfurt, what he's doing in Germany, what he's doing in Europe, what he's doing in the world. I want you to grow in your understanding of that. So open your Bibles with me. In my church, I make the people stand. So please stand with me as I read God's word. I did some research. I understand you do the NIV. That's right. Okay. That's what I'm reading from. Romans chapter 16. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been the benefactor of many, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets in their house. Greet my dear friends, Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Eunia, my fellow Jews who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Petraba, Hermas, and the other brothers and sisters with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the Lord's people who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teachings you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Timothy, my co-worker, sends his greetings to you, as do Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my fellow Jews. I, Tertius, who wrote down this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy, sends you his greetings. Erastus, who is in the city's director of public works, and our brother Quartus send you their greetings. Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. In the word of the Lord, you may be seated. The church, let me remind you, the church is made up of co-workers in Christ Jesus. You can, of course, maybe you're sitting there thinking, maybe you kind of daydreamed while we were reading that. It does feel like you're reading somebody else's mail. But you can get the sense, all those names, all the greetings, you get the sense that Paul is writing to co-workers, people he imagines he's working with. He's working alongside. He sends greetings with those who are with him, like Timothy. Paul is writing to the church in Rome, and he's urging them to live in unity in the gospel. The problem with the church in Rome, or one of them, was that they're this mixed congregation. Many of the churches at this time were mixed of Jews and Gentiles. And Paul begins by saying, all of you are on level footing at the bottom of the cross. You Jews, you had the blessing of being given the law, but you couldn't keep it. You Gentiles, you didn't even have the law. You didn't even have a good place to start from. You were a law to yourselves, and both of you are on level footing. Both of you are sinners before God. Both Jews and Greeks stand under the righteous judgment of God. Both are guilty of sin and have fallen short of God's glory, and both are saved by God's divine will and by God's grace. And now they are saved together. They're saved together. Despite their differences, they're saved together. They're called to a new life in Christ. They're called to a new life in Christ, and they have a responsibility to each other. Romans 12 and 13 and 14 is full of amazing practical application to the church at Rome, to love one another, to use their gifts to build each other up, to owe each other nothing but love. He then concludes with this series of greetings. He greets both Jews and Gentiles. He greets both men and women. He greets those in leadership and also the normal folk. These greetings should be seen as part of Paul's vision for exhorting this church to live in unity, to live in unity with one another, that they have a joint identity. They're no longer Jews and Gentiles. They are co-workers in Christ. The Jews should not be arrogant because they had the law. And the Gentiles should not be arrogant because they were saved apart from the law. As we dig deeper, and we'll reread our verses for today, verses 3 to 5, I want you to see this theme of being co-workers. Verses 3 to 5, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. That's really where we'll be. We can stop there. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. Priscilla and Aquila, if you've maybe recognized the names, maybe you've seen them elsewhere. We see them in Acts. We see them in Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Timothy. This married couple. Priscilla is probably a Roman citizen. Her name is almost always mentioned first, which wasn't a normal practice. But her name is always mentioned first. She's probably from a higher social status as Aquila. But they're married, and now they're part of what's called the artisan class. They work together. Aquila probably doing the work. He's the artisan. He makes tents or leather goods. Aquila doing the work. And Priscilla doing the business, running the store. We can imagine this. They're tent makers by trade. It's the same trade as Paul. Paul meets them in Corinth. They've been expelled from Rome. They're from Turkey, but they end up in Rome. And then Emperor Claudius issues an edict and expels all the Jews. All the Jews have to leave Rome. And so they go to Corinth. That's where Paul meets them. Paul meets them, serves with them. And he says to them, come with me. And he takes them to Ephesus. And he spends a brief time in Ephesus, and he leaves them there. And then he goes off and continues his journey. If we compile the whole picture together, we can imagine this. They move from Rome to Corinth to Ephesus to Rome to Ephesus. And in two cities, Rome and Corinth, they host a church in their house. They know the scriptures. Acts tells us that they confront a good teacher, an excellent teacher, named Apollos, and they correct him in his teaching. They correct him in his theology. So you can understand a bit more why Paul understands them as co-workers. I wish we knew more. I wish we knew why Paul says that they risk their lives for me. I'd love to hear that story. I don't know that story. Scripture hasn't left that for us. But Paul sees them as co-workers. Your Bible might say fellow workers, co-laborers. Your Bible might say Aquila and Priscilla who work with me. The Luther-Übersetzung says Mitarbeiter. However, the translation is of a Greek word, synergus. Synergus. So obviously, we get our word synergy, but this word is translated as co-workers. I was thinking about this word synergy. I have a man in my church. He's incredibly skilled in programming. Whenever DHL comes to deliver a package for you and they sign the machine in their hand, he's the one. He's the brains behind it all working together. He called me one day and he said, "Pastor Stephen, I have this skill, and so many people in my industry tell me how good I am. And I was thinking I should use it for the church. And we could do this and that and the other." And he kept throwing out this word, synergy, synergy. And I was trying to keep up with how fast he was talking, and I didn't understand any of it. And I just left. I said, "Matthias, I don't know what synergy is, but I want it. I want that. That whatever you've sold me on synergy, I want synergy in our church." The picture that helps me, I still don't understand what Matthias does. But imagine the inside of a Swiss watch, and all the pieces are working together. All the cogs are working together. Everything works smoothly together. Everything has its own job. Everything has its own purpose, but it all works together for the purpose of a watch. As a church, we need to see ourselves as co-laborers. We need to see ourselves as working together, not just between cities, but also in this body. Too many churches are filled with people who aren't using their gift. Imagine if you took a Swiss watch and you took one of the wheels out. No longer tells time. Imagine if you added something. It no longer keeps time. We need to see ourselves working together. The biblical image is of a body. A body. Paul to the Corinthians says that every body has its function. And every body part has its own gift. And he even says some gifts are more visible, right? But he says we shouldn't think that these are the only gifts that there are. He says that we shouldn't think that these are the most desirable gifts. In fact, the gifts that should be honored more are the gifts that are exercised throughout the week, where the rubber meets the road of life. When you have someone over at your house and you just make them a cup of coffee and you pray for them. Those are the kinds of gifts that make the church work. Those are the kinds of gifts that need to be identified and championed and praised. Not everyone should aspire to this. On a Sunday morning, unfortunately, we often only see a few people using their gifts. But it's really throughout the week, as you love one another, as you message one another, how can I pray for you this week? How can I encourage you this week? We need to see ourselves as working together, co-working. Co-working implies that there's a lot to do. There really is. I feel like I can say this. I wouldn't say this in my own church, but I mean, at the beginning of the pandemic, I had been a pastor for exactly 4 months. In my entire life, I had been a pastor, a full-time pastor for 4 months. I had barely gotten to know some of these people. And I'm sure Carson's experience was similar last year. Yeah, it was still only last year. 70-hour weeks, just trying to keep my head above water. What are the regulations? What are we allowed to do? What are we not allowed to do? How do I take this event that was on the schedule and make it digital? What is Zoom? There's a lot of work to do. There is a lot of work to do. And it needs to be done urgently. Christ is coming. There is urgent work to be done. How do we do it? Who can do this? Who is worthy of this task? Who can maintain this? Who can accomplish this work? Look at your Bibles. Paul gives us the answer. "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus." Christ is the only one who can do it. I cannot from here give you the desire to work together with your church. Only God can do that. Only Christ can put that desire in you. I cannot put within you the strength to love each other. Only Christ can do that. There, no amount of motivational speaking, no number of stories that I can provide will put something in you that God hasn't put in. This work is in Christ Jesus. This phrase, in Christ Jesus, it has to be one of Paul's favorite phrases. Just look for it as you read letters of Paul, in Christ Jesus. If you're not familiar with the phrase, or if you're here and you're not a believer, you're watching online, you don't know what I'm talking about. Let me just tell you that Paul imagines the believer, not in some mystical sense, but in a real way. The old life is gone, and the new identity of the Christian is in Christ. Paul says that the Christian died with Christ, was buried with Christ, was raised with Christ. He even says that you and I are seated with him in the heavenly places. Our identity with Christ is so pressed together that you can't look at us without seeing Christ. Paul will tell the church in Galatia, he says, I have died. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. When we look at each other, what we see is Christ working in that person. When we love each other, we're experiencing the love of Christ through one another. We are co-workers in Christ Jesus. We can't do it ourselves. We can't do it ourselves, and none of us deserves any credit for what is done. It all comes from Christ. It all goes to Christ. It's all for his glory. So Paul understands Priscilla and Aquila as a part of this larger picture of what God's doing. Not just in their lives, but in the lives of the church where they're serving, the church that they're hosting in their house, the people in Rome that they're loving and teaching and serving. He sees all men and all of the women in this chapter as part of a larger picture. He sees the church at Rome as a part of this larger picture as well. Christ has not only saved us as individuals, but he has saved us as a body of believers. He sees the church as a part of this. And I believe from the context of the whole chapter, we see just a glimpse of it here at the end. The whole letter, I mean. We see a glimpse of it at the end. That these people are part of God's bigger picture of what he's doing. Christ not only saved you and me as individuals, but we're saved as a body. That you who are in Christ Jesus are part of this larger picture of what God's doing. You and I are fellow laborers. We've never met. Some of us have seen each other online in class, but we're fellow laborers in Christ Jesus. View yourself as a functioning member of this body. Every member is essential to the working of the body. What's the point of a body when the arm doesn't work? How effective is a hand when three of the fingers aren't functioning properly? I would encourage you to look at the people around. It's hard in these days, I know. Sometimes I don't even know who I'm pastoring. your elders, I would encourage you to think of your elders, your pastor. They work hard to cast a vision for the church. The mission of the church is unchanging, but the vision of each local church of how they're going to fulfill the mission of making disciples varies from church to church. See yourself as co-laborers with your leaders to achieve the mission of the church to make disciples and the vision of this particular church of how that's going to be accomplished. See yourselves as co-laborers working together towards the vision of this particular church. This motivation and ability can only come from Christ. It all comes from being in Christ. He is the one who accomplishes it. I'm not here today to prescribe to you the works that will lead to your salvation. I'm here to tell you that you have been saved out of a kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son, and that he has placed you within a body of believers that has a mission. And you are working together in that mission. That mission came from Christ. This church is a manifestation of his body to the world. That he gives gifts. He gives to each of you a gift to be used for the building up of this body. As I stated at the beginning, our main point is this: the church is made up of co-workers in Christ Jesus. I think there's a main point slide. As we come to a close, I want to remind you of this main point, that the church is made up of co-workers in Christ Jesus. Listen, the New Testament sees the church as a body of believers who together have received the gospel. You've received it together. The church is a body of believers who together maintain the gospel and protect it from alteration. The church is a body of believers who disciple each other. Disciple each other. That means when your brother and sister is suffering, you take the gospel message and you apply it to that person's life. You're supposed to disciple each other. The church is a body of believers who labor together to advance the gospel outside of these walls. All of this work is done in Christ. It's empowered by him. It's done for his glory. The labor is difficult. How, you may ask, will we know when it's all finished? How will we know when we're done? Well, he tells the church in Galatia that we'll be done when we are all just like Christ. So, Keep at it, guys. You're doing great, but you got a long way to go. We've all got a long way to go. We'll be at this for a while. But we are not alone in the labor. This passage reminds us that the church is made up of co-workers who are in Christ Jesus. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for this church. I'm so thankful for your body. And I'm so thankful that you're the head. Lord, I'm thankful that it's not up to us. But Lord, you are the head of the church. You are building your church. You are protecting your church. You are leading your church. I pray, Lord, that you'd be with the elders here in Frankfurt. I pray that you'd strengthen them for the task. I pray that you would lead them and guide them. Bless their efforts. I pray for this church, Lord, that it would be a well-functioning, church that loves one another, works well together, blesses one another through the use of their spiritual gifts. Lord, I thank you for partnerships across city lines. I thank you for the IBC and the network of churches that it creates. Lord, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to meet these believers. Would you bless them? In your Son's name we pray. Amen.